Now, first this week, the brain sits cocooned behind a protective defence called the blood-brain barrier. It's there to protect the delicate neurochemistry of the nervous system, and it bars the majority of chemicals, and critically, drugs, from entering. Only very small molecules like caffeine, Chris's favourite molecule, can slip through. And this is a major frustration when it comes to developing treatments for diseases like Alzheimer's, because it limits the repertoire of molecules that drug designers can work with.
Unless, of course, you have a safe and selective way to temporarily open up the blood-brain barrier and allow the right things in, which is what James Choi and his colleagues have been trying to do.
Drugs have been developed over the past several decades, and they work quite well in mice and in animal disease models, but they can't get into the brain. What we're showing in this paper is a technology to get the drug into the brain.
But there are lots of drugs that do get into the brain extremely well. Things like heroin, cocaine, nicotine, alcohol, they all do it. So what's the exception then?
So the exception is that those drugs, the bad drugs, are very, very small. And so if you get a molecule small enough and put it into the bloodstream, it'll get into your brain and everywhere else in your body. A lot of the drugs that are useful are bigger. And so there's actually what we call a cutoff where we think with certainty that these drugs will not go across. And that includes antibodies, peptides.
And your challenge is to find a way to ease them into the brain and surmount this problem where at the moment they would struggle to get in.
Exactly. What we want to do is use a localized method to say, hey, in this region, such as your memory center, which affects Alzheimer's disease, we want the drug only to go there. The way we do that, we inject tiny preformed microbubbles. They're around the size of a red blood cell. And what we do is we apply a localized beam of sound onto the memory center, and the bubbles will then push the drugs from the blood into the brain.
But this is not new, though, is it? The idea of using injectable bubbles and then combining them with sound and directing that to the brain helps to dismantle this thing we refer to as the blood-brain barrier, which keeps the blood space and the brain space separate. It does cause that to temporarily become permeable so drugs can go into the central nervous system. That's been done, and that's been done quite a while ago. So are you doing it slightly differently then?
Yes. The current state of the art is to inject the microbubbles and ping the bubbles with a very long pulse of ultrasound. And although they've done a lot of work to optimize it, the conclusion in the end is that the beam itself has some side effects. And there's a list of issues. Two of the issues that we try to address is the distribution of the drugs. Within that beam, the drugs accumulate in one area at a high concentration, but it doesn't get to another area. So it's a very uneven distribution. The second concern with long pulses is that it disrupts the blood-brain barrier for several hours. And what that means is the blood-brain barrier can no longer do its original role, which is to regulate what goes into the brain and what goes out. And so you allow a lot of the unwanted compounds into the brain.
A bit like jamming open the portcullis on the castle.
Exactly.
for longer than you'd like. So the good soldiers go in, but then some other people sneak in behind them while the gates are still open.
Exactly. And so we want to make sure that we're disrupting the blood-brain barrier, but do it in a very short time duration. And so what we showed in this paper is that using short pulses of ultrasound in a very fast sequence, we can get the blood-brain barrier open and then close within 10 minutes.
And this works the same way, does it? You're using the sound to shake the bubbles shake the blood vessels effectively and open up a temporary sort of permeability in this blood-brain barrier so that the bigger things that would normally be excluded can, for a short while, sneak in.
Yes, and the key thing here is to shake these bubbles gently.
And when you do this, how much can you enhance the delivery of a drug that would not previously stand any chance of getting into the central nervous system? How much more gets in if you do this?
A lot more. One of the model drugs that we tested does not go through the blood-brain barrier. But with our technique, it can then go in there. So as a measure of how much more, that's really hard to decide if the original amount was very, very low. What we do know is that the level that we're delivering the drugs is at a similar dose to the long pulse sequences. And a lot of work with the long pulses have shown that the dose is enough to have a therapeutic response against a disease such as Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease.
So potentially a way to open up not just the blood-brain barrier, but new avenues in drug development for regenerative brain diseases too. James Troy there, he's at Imperial College London, and that work was published in the journal Radiology.
It's fascinating stuff.